Good morning.
Morning.
Just before we start, Bruce has just given me a notice about donations for Riviera Life Storehouse, which, as many of you know, is a food bank run by Riviera Life. There's a list here of what they would like. Shall I go through that? Yeah. So tins of beans, spaghetti, tomatoes, veg, soup, meat, tea, coffee, sugar, cereal, pasta sauce, pasta and rice. And it says here that food banks are becoming, of course, more and more busy with the energy crisis, and they were already busy. So anything can help. And it says that in December, they're doing 200 Christmas hampers on top of their usual food parcels. Yeah. So any treats that can go in them would be welcomed. Boxes of sweets and biscuits, Pringles, cranberry sauce, stuffing, and as well as all the basic essentials. Have we all got one of those? Oh, right, so you've got that list.
Can you give crisps and things like that now, or have you got to...
No. Not now.
It's a sell-by date.
Oh, the sell-by date.
So it'd be past Christmas.
Yeah.
Sell-by date.
No, I know, but even if the crisps have got sell-by date,
I can't see any.
I've checked with it, but you don't come back. Please, yeah. I've got
some big packets bought, and I just wondered. That
would be good for Christmas. Yeah. For Christmas.
Okay, brilliant. So, so bring as soon as you can, really, for the first one, and then the Christmas as we get nearer, are you thinking?
Next week is the first one, the normal donations. Then I'll let everybody know when
what's the Christmas?
December one, what date they want it down.
Okay, so regular gifts for next Sunday, and then then have a date for Christmas. Okay. Brilliant. Right. We are here, and we have come on the day of remembrance for those who lost their lives over the years in conflict and with their families. At 5:45 a.m. on this day in 1918, Germany and the Allied forces signed an armistice agreement that brought an end to the First World War. Later that morning, at the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month, fighting ceased. At this historic moment, when weapons were laid down, the peace bells rang out, and soldiers finally returned home to their families. At that time, I'm sure that many thought that this was the war to end all wars, and again after the Second World War. Yet there have been many wars and conflicts since, and many that continue. And we especially think now of our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. We want to remember all those who gave their lives for our freedom in this country. And we want to remember those who have gone on tours of duty and haven't come back, helping other countries. Ultimately, we remember the one who has given us eternal freedom. And as the spiritual battle continues, we know that we have the victory in Jesus Christ, our King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Redeemer, and so much more. So we're going to start this morning by singing In Christ Alone, because that's where our hope is found. And then we'll go straight into All Hail the Lamb.
Mm-hmm. Home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
So we're going to come now to a time of giving thanks in prayer. And I'll pray, and then please do pray too. There may even be people that you know who passed away in those wars. And then we're going to have a 2 minute silence. Robert, would you be able to time that?
Yes.
And then Robert will read the poem from Lawrence Binion that we all know so well. Just one verse of it we know well. And then straight into, we're going to have Our Father sung to us by Judith Durham via the computer. So let us pray. Lord, we give thanks for the lives that were lost in the First World War, the Second World War, the Falklands, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Lord, in so many other places. And we pray for their families. Some that we know will still be hurting, especially with more recent deaths, and maybe wondering why they had to die. But Lord, we thank them as we remember them for the freedom that they brought us in this country. Lord, we are so aware that this year Ukraine is at war with Russia, and so many lives have been lost there. We pray for all those who have come here and other countries to seek refuge. We give thanks that they have given up their lives for this cause. We pray too for the Russian people and for Putin, that his heart of stone will melt. Mm-hmm. And Lord, there are still so many wars and conflicts in this world. Lord, we shouldn't be surprised. Your word says there will be wars. Mm-hmm. And rumours of wars. But Lord, we pray for those who are involved, who are in those countries. And we think of Afghanistan, Ethiopia, South Sudan, Syria, Myanmar, Yemen, the DR Congo, all of which are civil wars. Lord, we remember all, and we thank you again, Jesus, for your ultimate sacrifice for us, bringing us forgiveness of sins and a new life in you. Thank you, Lord, you didn't leave us on our own, but sent your Holy Spirit to live in us, that we might go out in your name. So help us this week and every week to go out in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I think of all the people, the families who lost loved ones, those who went to war to help others. And they were killed, Lord, a lot of them. And still people nowadays must feel so bad at this time for their loved ones who have died, years ago even. I think of Ukraine too, and all the other places. I ask you, Lord God, to undertake and to overrule with Putin, Lord. Jimmy said, soften his heart, Lord, I pray. Please, Lord God, pray for your will to be done there real soon. Pray for continued peace, and it will keep coming in Ukraine. To see those people yesterday, they were so pleased with being able to take back part of their country, Lord, although it was a small bit. But I just pray for them now. And also for the countries that have taken all these people in, I ask that you will help them to cope as well. Because it's not just finding them somewhere to live, but to feed and, well, just everything, Lord, that they need. I thank you once again, though, for your love and for caring for us. A lot of things that I don't understand at all, but you know. But Lord God, I give these people to you now who are standing, thinking about their loved ones that have passed, or even those who have been maimed, even suffering still mentally and physically, Lord. So I give these people to you, and these prayers I hand to you now with praise and with thanksgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, I think of the many lives that had been lost in the sense that men were injured and came back and were not able to take up the work they'd always done. And families are displaced by war and they lose their home and the life which they had. Lord, those who put their trust in Jesus have peace with you. And Lord, we can hold on to that peace. And I pray that you will grant peace to your children, that they will shine amongst those who are displaced and injured to your glory. And I thank you, Lord, that you have told us to expect trouble in the end times, and we are at the end of the end times, Lord. So I pray that we will stand, we will hold faith, we'll hold on to our belief, and we will trust you to the end. Because, Lord, you have the victory. Satan thought he won when he got you nailed to a cross and saw you die. But you turned the tables. You knew all of this and you triumphed over Satan. And as the world gets darker now and there are more wars, we know that it's coming to the final conflict. And you are going to appear and melt down this world, make it new. Behold, I make all things new, you tell us in Revelation. We glorify you.
Amen.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever.
Oh, Bible reading, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shall shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints.
Amen. Amen. So just before Stephen brings the message, we're going to sing An Army of Ordinary People.
Children of promise. an army of ordinary people. Do we feel like an army? Do we look like an army?
You may not know it, but I think we're all wearing the uniform. I truly believe we're children of light, and in the dark world that Satan inhabits, we stand out. In the spiritual realm, I think he can see us. Therefore, we draw his attention and we draw his attack. It's why the title, which comes out of, to me, out of Ephesians 6, unseen, unseen God, unseen enemy, unseen battle.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you know, I was involved in spiritualism for many, many years, and for pretty much up until I was 64. And so I'm quite conscious of the unseen world. And I want to open your eyes just a little to the unseen world. I do not want you to focus on the unseen world. Our attention must be on our Lord. He is our greatest defense. But we are under attack, and the wiles of the enemy come against us. We need to know that looking to the Lord, praising him, putting on Jesus, which is what we get from the armor of God, is our greatest defense. And Satan is looking for praise and worship. And when we give our worship to our God, one true God, he falls back. So I don't want to focus too much on the enemy, though there is a very strong verse 12, talking about the enemy. And we speak of spiritual warfare. We've had the wars which are seen on the news, on the TV. That's the seen. But we're talking about the unseen. We're told, though, that that which is seen is temporary, temporal. It will pass away. That which is unseen is eternal. So let's look at the eternal. In fact, Bruce started on this track 2 weeks ago, and he spoke of Job. He said that Job was unaware that there's a battle going on between the devil and God. And that started me thinking of this. And I have to say that, in fact, the battle is not directly between the devil and God. There's a warfare going on. But Satan doesn't square up to God and put him up and fight God. What he does is fights with us. He fights over us to win us, to cause us to pay attention to him and give our attention, our praise, our worship to him. He seeks worship. We must deny worship. So, I call it unseen God, but I think we can accept that God's unseen. We're told in John 1, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared Jesus has shown us God. I think we know God is unseen. And there are so many who do not recognize him, but we're told they have no excuse. They are under condemnation, Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Creation speaks of God. He never leaves himself without a witness. And I said, that which is unseen is eternal, that which is seen is temporary. So if we look at Ephesians 6:10 is the first one. This really looks at God, the unseen God. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I use the New King James. This is the King James you have in front. We are told to be strong in the Lord. So the first prerequisite is that we are in Christ Jesus, that we are saved. We haven't got this armor. We haven't got the sword of the Spirit. If we are not in Christ Jesus, we must be saved. We must be born again, Spirit-filled believers. And we are an army. He speaks of my brethren. We need to stand together. We need to be encouraging, supporting, praying for one another, edifying one another. And it's of his might. The power of his might. We need to know, apart from Christ, I can do nothing. We need his power, his might, we need him. And then, it's not actually power of his might, strength. It's the Holy Spirit. Zechariah 4:6 tells us, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The hosts, the armies of heaven, God's armies. So we are sure of our God. I believe if we are believers, we must be sure of it. We must be convinced. But we do have that enemy. And the next verse in Ephesians 11 and then 12 particularly speaks of putting on the whole armor of God is really looking to God, yes. That you may stand and be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Now, he's unseen. I don't know if you realize, but if we do actually get told in scripture what happened before the fall, it's not that obvious. If you go to Ezekiel 28, 10 following, and Isaiah 14, you get a description of Satan in condition before. He was Satan, and he was Lucifer. And he was the anointed cherub covering the throne of God. He was the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. He said he was perfect in all your ways from the day you were created. He was fabulous. It speaks of the timbrels and pipes. His musical ability was beyond compare. And pride came into him. He looked from above God. You imagine this. He saw the angels, the cherubim, seraphim, worshipping God. And it went to his head. He wanted that for himself. And he led a third of the angels after him so that they would worship him. He would be a leader, trying to set himself up as God. That was because of pride. So, he is unseen. He's working behind the scenes. He's deceitful. He's a liar. But we're warned in 1 Peter 5:8, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. This is Satan. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to take us down with him. We need the armor of God. And he's unseen, accusing. We see at one point in Zechariah that he was standing at the right hand of Joshua to accuse us before the angel of God. He is the accuser. He is the adversary. He's after him. And I think it was verse 11 there. We have warned against the wiles of the enemy. Because he's deceitful, but he's very, very clever. And he insinuates himself into people's minds. He plants thoughts. I don't even know if he can do anything apart from speak to us in a spirit and try and lead us astray. He can probably cause sicknesses and all sorts of things, but I think his greatest weapon is deception. Well, we have to learn to resist deception. And the way we resist it is with the word. We have to stand on the word, in the word. The word has to be in us. It has to be our touchstone. We have to reject it in again. We're told in Luke 22:3 that Satan entered Judas. And he was numbered as one of the 12. But Satan entered. When the supper ended, the devil already having been put into the heart of Judas, he went to betray Jesus. So Satan had worked on him, and he had come into him. If you care to read Intercessor by Rhys Howells, you will learn from people who were actually party to changing the course of the Second World War. You will learn that Hitler actually had a demon come into him, and he knew and recorded the day when that demon came into him, driving him, telling him what to do. And there were key times when the intercessors were praying when Hitler didn't do what this demon was telling him to, the Allies gained an advantage. So, we're told, do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, New King James, as I said. We wrestle. Wrestling is about the most close proximity conflict that there is. It's holding a sword and fighting somebody with a fish feet for it. But wrestling is in there, absolutely locked in with them. And that is where Satan comes. He comes right up close and personal in our head. And I have to confess, he has been in my head, and because of spiritualism, he had a field of it. And I virtually lost 2014 with a breakdown. When I was believing the lies, I couldn't tell that they were lies. And I truly thought what I was thinking was my absolute, highly intellectual understanding of how roughshod I was, how I couldn't cope with the world. I could argue. I live off a doctor's donkey, that I was incapable, I was helpless, I was hopeless. That was wrestling. Don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not what we see, it's the unseen. We wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers, spiritual hosts of wickedness. And apparently in the Greek, this has the sense of a very orderly hierarchy of line of command. He's organized. He's a copycat. He can't create it, but he copies the organization that God has. He copies, makes very good use of it. But we are in the victor's army, and our leader, our king, our God, has the victory already, because it's outside of time. It's unseen. It's eternal. That victory is won. That victory is sure. We know there's darkness in this age. We know there's wickedness. But this says in heavenly places. Now don't go getting worried that that's in heaven. Heavenly places. If you think back to where Paul speaks of, I know a man who 14 years ago was taken up to the third heaven. No, not whether it's the body or the spirit. He spoke of the third heaven. And I truly believe, and I've seen various writings about this, that we've got the cielo, the heaven, what we call, I can't think of the firmament, sky. We look at the sky and the stars, we can see it. That's not what's important. What's unseen is what comes before the place inhabited by the angelic being. Jesus, the Father, God, the third heaven. There's a second heaven. Now Satan is cast down. He roams around, and he has power over the world, over the earth, but he is in that middle realm. In Revelation, it speaks of an angel flying around. It says in NIV, in the midst of the heaven, but it actually says in others, in middle heaven. That is his realm. He rules and reigns. He is God with a little g in that realm and over us, as far as people will believe him and worship him, through all the false religions, through sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and money, and everything you can think of. So, he is only there for a short time. His time is limited. We know what's going to happen. And we are part of achieving that final victory. Now, the battle is unseen. We know that there are many ways I've spoken of the wrestling, Satan getting in my mind, but in scripture we can see so many examples of him working. The Syrophoenician woman, Mark 7, her daughter had an unclean spirit. What happened? Jesus said her faith secured her daughter. Jesus overruled, the unclean spirit's cast out. Mark 9:17, the man brought his son who had a mute spirit, who threw him around, threw him into water, threw him into fire, is foaming at the mouth. Jesus was greater than that. The spirit was cast out, the word. There was a woman who had been bent 18 years, and in no way could she straighten. Jesus, he healed her. And he said, ah, this woman whom Satan had bound. He acknowledged that Satan had that control over her, but at a word from him, she was released. And he has released us from our bondage to sin and Satan. And he has told us to stand as soldiers. We must be disciplined. We must train. We must keep our weapons sharp. And in Ephesians 6, now we go to 14 to 18, where we're told what to put on, what to handle. Gird yourself with, gird your waist, the belt of truth. I think they would have been seeing the Roman soldiers. They would have seen what armor they put on. They may even have seen them getting dressed. They might have been working around them. And I think the belt they've seen had strips of leather with metal studs in them. So when you put a belt on, it not only held you strong so muscles didn't get strained in some ways, but you were also protected against a sword coming down or a spear coming out. You had protection down below. But we have Jesus, who is the truth. We are to put on Jesus. He is the truth, the way, the truth, life. When we have the truth, that deflects so many of the blows. We're to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Jesus is our righteousness. We put on Jesus. We have righteousness from Jesus, the imputed righteousness of Jesus. So we're not guilty. We're forgiven. We're clean. If we sin, if we go wrong, we bring it, we confess it, we repent. The blood of Christ heals us, forgives us, cleanses us totally. I read all through 1 week the foot of the devotional. I remember it said, this is because we are righteous. Righteous in the blood of Christ. Satan has no place in us. He has no hold over us. He has no unsettled claim against us. All has been settled by the blood of Christ. So remember, the blood of Christ to save, we're righteous. Satan can't get a grip on us. And we are to have shod our feet with the preparation the gospel of peace. Who is our peace? Jesus. We put on, we remind ourselves, Jesus has brought our peace. He's given us peace with God by cancelling the debt, by taking our punishment. So we stand firm on the rock, stable, steady. We're not blown here and there. We're not on the back foot. We're ready. We're prepared. We have peace with God. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Jesus is the giver of faith. It's a gift. So look at Jesus. He's given us faith to believe in him. And with it, we will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The wicked one is firing darts at us. They used to dip an arrow in bitumen. And tar and light it and string it up and fire it into the camp, into the city or whatever habitation was being defended, and it would set woodwork and thatch alight, anything. And Satan is firing darts with fire on them at us. They're his lies. They would burn us, they would destroy us if we let them. But with a shield, they used to make them with wood, with hide over them. And before a battle, they would soak them in a stream so that they were wet, they were taut, they were strong. But if a burning arrow landed, it was quenched. And if we hold to our faith, we quench, we extinguish the lies that come from Satan. We need to know the word to be able to do it. We need faith. We need to know where our faith is in. And we should take the helmet of salvation. Salvation is Jesus. He is our salvation. He's given salvation, bought us salvation.
We are to remind ourselves, we are to put it on, and that is to govern our thinking. A helmet over our mind. Let us think with the mind of Christ, not the mind of the flesh. But by now, we're pretty well protected. We've got this belt. We've got a shield. We've got a breastplate. Our feet are readily shod. We've got a helmet on our head. That's pretty good, as long as the enemy's in front of us. So in a sense, we've got to keep him in our sights. And it's better if we advance at the devil. And it also means we have to have our brothers and sisters to protect our back. And then we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here we move into battle. We're protected. So let's go to war. The Word of God defeats Satan. What did Jesus do in the wilderness? He quoted scripture and defeated Satan. And we are to use the Word of God in proclamation. We are to speak it out, believe it, knowing that it is true, it is powerful. When we speak the Word of God out of our mouth is as powerful as the Word of God out of the mouth of God. I hope you can believe that. So we need to know what to proclaim. We need to know the scripture. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit to use it at the right time. But, okay, there was a time I'd be sensible about this. There was a time when I was being totally helpless and hopeless and saying, I can't go to Mount Olive, and meet Rob and Julie and people like that. I can't cope with people like that. I was feeling so weak and a useless Christian. And I was arguing with my wife and saying that I couldn't, I'm not. It suddenly dawned on me, the scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love, and of a sound mind. And I realized that I was not speaking from a sound mind. I was speaking contradictory, self-defeating rubbish. But as soon as I challenged that in my head, without even speaking, proclaiming it, I knew this was not of my mind. And believe it or not, the instant I challenged it with the Word of God, it was gone. My helplessness was gone. The hopelessness was gone. The gibberish was gone. I was in my right mind. We're given the spirit of power, of love, and it then says either self-discipline or self-control. I had finally got self-control. A right mind, that's the other one. And it was powerful. And that's not the only time it's happened. The Word of God out of our mouth is power. Ephesians 6 goes on praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit for all the saints. We are to stand as one, all the saints, and we are to pray. If you're keeping count, we've had the belt, we've had the breastplate, we've had the footwear, we had the shield, we've had the helmet, we've had the sword of the Spirit. Number 7, the perfect number, completion, infinity, perfection in the Bible, is prayer. Praying always in the Spirit. And I have to pray, grant me grace to pray in the Spirit all the time, because I don't want to pray all the time. But we are to have that prayerful life for all our brothers and sisters. It's to be in the Spirit, because that's where the battle is, that's where the power is, that's where we transcend time and space. We are to pray, bring supplication to brothers and sisters. And don't forget, Revelation 19. And he who sat on the white horse, this is, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. we are using that sharp two-edged sword which our God and King Jesus uses to defeat all the enemy at the very end. So let's stand strong in our Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to sing "In Heavenly Armor We'll Enter the Land."
Be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Hallelujah.